snow and everything like that. It was great and wonderful.
Patty Lane, Bellevue, Washington.
New CDC study finds only 46% of adult Americans regularly exercised in 2003. Study also classifies almost a fifth of all adult Americans as inactive. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Like most parents, you probably see your child as the typical smart, well-adjusted kid.
Camouflage. C-A-M-O-U-F-L-A-G-E. Camouflage.
Well, your child might not be as well-adjusted as you think.
Issues. I-S-S-U-E-S. Issues.
And if you knew there was somebody in particular who could help your child?
Daddy. D-A-D-D-Y. Daddy.
Wouldn't you want them to help? Well, the truth is, Dad, you're that person. Just by being an involved dad and spending time with your child, you're taking an active role in your child's social and emotional well-being. You're also increasing their chances of succeeding academically and staying in school. So don't take for granted how normal and smart your child seems.
Balance. B-A-L-A-N-C-E. Balance.
Because children need fathers who love and care for them just as much as they need mothers. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, 100 Black Men of America, and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free helpful information.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. If someone were to ask you what was the greatest single tragedy to take place on American soil over the past 100 years, what would you say? Some of you might say the Depression or the denial of civil rights to Americans, but those took place over a period of many years. Others of you might argue that Pearl Harbor or some foreign battle was the greatest single tragedy, though, of course, Hawaii wasn't technically an American state at that time, and the other battles, at least in the last 100 years, occurred abroad. Now, I think many of you would focus on September 11th, 2001. But I would ask you to think again. September 11th was certainly a horrific tragedy. 3,000 innocent Americans were killed. But if you weren't one of those killed, really the effects were not so long-lasting, at least on American soil. I know we went to war, and there's all kinds of other things to talk about. But if you were homeless, the New Yorkers that were homeless in lower Manhattan, they got back into their homes relatively quickly. Now, I would argue in terms of the scope, the number of people affected, the long-lasting effect, perhaps the greatest tragedy on American soil in the last century is Hurricane Katrina. If you look today, even today, months after the event, at aerial photographs of New Orleans at nighttime, half the city is still unlit. More than half of the population is still gone. And these people are still suffering. There is still trouble with housing and jobs and health care and justice. And I know that most of you focused on Hurricane Katrina when it was happening. We all heard the horrific stories of people trying to climb through and build, make holes in their roofs to escape the floods. We all heard about the lawlessness and lack of government concern at the convention center. But are you watching what's going on now? Or have you, like most Americans outside of New Orleans, moved on? Well, one woman who has not moved on, definitely not, is Latasha Brown. She's a founder of the SOS Coalition called Save Ourselves Coalition. Latasha Brown, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Ms. Brown, let me ask you this. Some Americans may think that the crises of Katrina are over. Certainly the hurricane is gone. But your organization begs to differ. Are there still problems post-Katrina?
Oh, there are major problems of post-Katrina. What we saw earlier was just the shock of how, you know, our government has failed in terms of handling this disaster. And I think, you know, most people, when they thought, okay, the initial shock was over, that, you know, things have calmed down because it's not being carried a lot on mainstream media. However, there are many, many problems that continue. A lot of the major, major problems we're finding right now in terms of people not being able to get the kind of services and aid from the traditional service relief agencies, nor from FEMA. People are being frustrated there. We've getting reports of families of people who are committing suicide. There are people who are having nervous breakdowns. Mm. There are families that we're 3 months out, and there are families that are sleeping in mold-infested homes on the floors because their houses were flooded and they haven't received any help or assistance yet.
Ms. Brown, let's
look at the media. We see what happened in Louisiana and New Orleans, and we think that that was the face of the whole hurricane, and it wasn't, where there were people who were displaced and dispersed all over the country from New Orleans and Mississippi and Alabama. Buses didn't pick those people up. So many of those people are still living in those damaged, flooded, and in some hazardous conditions.
Ms. Brown, we have so much to cover. Let's try to cover it sort of one topic by one. Let's start with just the number of people affected. Now, as I understand it, there were 1,000 lives that we know have been lost. But one of your statistics that surprised me is that there's still a greater number that are missing. Is that correct?
Right, right. We know that currently right now, according to the missing and exploited children, there is 1,200 children. There are 1,200 children right now as we speak that are missing. No one can account for them. People don't know where they are. And there's a greater number of adults. I don't know the exact number, but there are a greater number of adults. Matter of fact, one of the families that we're working with has a mother, Ethel Herbert. It's been 14 weeks. Her mother was sick on a hospital bed at the Superdome. The National Guard came and got her and would not allow a family member to ride with her, and they said they were going to airlift her to a hospital. No one has seen Miss Ethel yet. It's been 14 weeks, and they can't find their mother.
Wait. I mean, the federal officials were there to help this woman.
They were there when it flooded. They were actually the family was able to float her out on an air mattress. They actually took her hospital bed, set it back up on in the sun. It took so long for her to get assistance that she actually had a stroke. Miss Elsa had a stroke out in the sun. I understand that a lot of the community people who were out there made a circle and did a prayer vigil and were praying and asking for help and trying to wave help down. Finally, the National Guard came in. They actually went to Miss Ethel. They set up an infirmary outside of the Superdome, but they said that she had suffered a stroke.
And we still don't know what happened to Miss Ethel.
And nobody knows what happens to Miss Ethel.
Natasha Brown, we have to take a break, but if you want to call in and ask questions, we already have callers on the line. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255. Particularly if you are still a victim or an evacuee of Katrina, we want to hear from you. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
The most famous television documentary ever produced was Victory at Sea, which was as noted for the swelling musical score by Richard Rodgers as the amazing footage from World War II gathered from over 13,000 hours of footage from U.S., British, German, and Japanese navies. RetroTelevision.com offers you 26 episodes of Victory at Sea, stunningly reproduced on DVD for just $19.95. The original 26 episodes are presented uncut with every note of Richard Rodgers' original score for just $19.95. To take advantage of this offer, go online to www.retrotelevision.com. That's R-E-T-R-O, RetroTelevision, you got to spell out television.com. Or go to TalkStarRadio.com to get your set of Victory at Sea episodes for just $19.95.
I've got a pop quiz for you. How well can you do? What's the last magazine you bought at the checkout line? What's the last book your kid checked out of the library? Who did your basketball team pick in the draft? Who did your kid pick to sit next to in lunch? Name a book on the bestseller list. Name a book in your kid's backpack. Who is President of the United States? Who is President of your kid's student council? Can you name three R&B artists? Can you name three artists your kid studied in school?
Know what really matters. When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Not only will your relationship benefit, so will your kid. When kids have parents involved in their school, they have higher grades, better attendance, and more self-esteem. Visit www.pta.org to find 100 simple ways to get involved. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the suffering that continues post-Katrina. I know virtually every American was transfixed, whether you're in New Orleans or not, watching television, watching what was going on 3 months ago when Hurricane Katrina hit. But are you aware that the suffering still continues? My guest, Latasha Brown, certainly is. She's a founder of the Save Ourselves Coalition, the SOS Coalition. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. Ms. Brown, just if you can, before we get to the specifics, just give us some idea of the numbers. 1,000 dead, many thousand missing. How many are homeless?
We have thousands. I don't know if there's a solid number. We know right now that there are 50,000 people in New Orleans alone that have been displaced. The square footage, there's 98,000 square feet of property throughout from the Gulf Coast that was affected by this hurricane. Although there are people who are homeless and actually displaced out of their homes right now, there are people who are living in the shells of homes because they don't have anywhere to go. And there are thousands of people all along the Gulf Coast who are living in homes because they don't, in the homes that were flooded went back because they don't have anywhere to go. And we're really concerned about health issues.
Let me go to a caller on the line if I could. Linda in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi.
Hello. Are you a victim of Katrina?
I am.
Tell me your situation.
And the lady you were speaking of, Ethel Herbert, is my mother.
Oh, my God. And you don't know where she is?
No, we do not. We know once she was evacuated from her home in New Orleans with some neighbors who went and got a boat because they knew she was not able to get out on her own, along with my two other sisters and my three grandchildren. They disassembled the hospital bed, took it to the bridge, I-10, put the bed back together on the I-10, and then they
in the middle of the hurricane.
Yes. This was after. This was one day after Katrina.
So
actually hit New Orleans.
The rain is there, the flooding is there, and your mother's on a bed on the I-10 somewhere?
That's correct. And there's pictures in all and there's a magazine remembering Katrina, and her picture is in that magazine with them pushing her across the I-10 in a hospital bed.
Linda, I am so sorry. Can you tell us what do you think happened to your mother?
Well, as what we know, she was supposedly had been airlifted from a makeshift infirmary outside of the Louisiana Superdome. And at that point, no one seems to know where she is.
And you fear she died en route, perhaps? Or?
No. Well, from what we was told, she suffered a stroke.
Yeah.
During the evacuation from being in the heat for 2 days trying to evacuate her.
So she could be anywhere.
Excuse me?
So she could be anywhere, in some hospital somewhere, in a coma?
Yes.
Wow.
And we've inundated 47 states of hospitals and nursing homes. We bought all kind of computers and fax machines. We've been talking to people around the country trying to find our mother, and there's nothing. We was also told by Mr. Daugherty, who works for FEMA, he's down in Baton Rouge at the makeshift morgue that they had in San Gabriel. He asked us to bring in her hairbrush, a toothbrush, her comb, and my brother himself went down there to bring DNA. After we did that, about a month later, I pick up the USA Today and I find out the government's no longer looking for the missing.
Really?
Not only are they not looking for them, the DNA labs have never been set up.
So they've just given up on your mother and the thousands of others that are missing.
There's over 6,000 people who are still missing.
That's shocking. Linda.
And the government has given up on these people, so you have families that are now looking for their family members on their own. And
you know,
I think that's horrible.
I remember after September 11th when people put up the photos of their missing loved ones. But most of those have indeed been accounted for. It would seem to me that Hurricane Katrina, I mean, the government would be doing the same thing, but they're not. What about state and local officials? Are they helping you or them
either? Local officials, no one is helping us. What we are doing, we purchased the equipment from Dell. We are doing everything on our own. We got information from the Louisiana Nursing Association. 47 states are nursing home. We have records of every person we have contacted. We have papers on top of papers. We've been calling the White House for the last 3 months trying to talk to President Bush. He will not return our calls.
Yeah, I can't say I'm surprised. Linda, thank you so much for calling in, for sharing your story. And, you know, our prayers are with you. I really, I'm going to see from Latasha what we listeners can do to help you out. But I there's no excuse. Obviously, no excuse.
If I can say one thing,
please go ahead.
I will say to the listeners that we have to demand from our government that we find, that we can account for the people who are missing.
Absolutely.
Because Katrina could happen again. And if it happens again, this nightmare will happen again.
It should happen because we're Americans and we should
care about
each other.
That's
and missing
correct.
People need to be found.
Yes.
And Linda, please, I know you won't quit. You're clearly very determined. Thank you very much for calling in and speaking out on behalf of all those that are still missing in Katrina.
Yes.
I really appreciate your call. Latasha Brown, this is not atypical, is it? I mean, Linda's story is...
It's not. We're getting phone calls every day. There are over 6,000. You've got 1,200 black children that are missing.
1,200
right
children.
Now, and they're still bodies. We're getting phone calls and from people in New Orleans who they know that their loved one's body is at a morgue, but the morgue will not release the body. I mean, some are saying that this is an issue of capitalism at its worst, in terms of some of the people are keeping, they're getting fees from FEMA for holding the body, so they're actually, it's 3 months later and people can't give their loved one a proper burial because the morgue won't turn the bodies over.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Do you have detailed companies?
It's unethical. It's immoral.
It's more than immoral. It's criminal. Do we have names of specific morgues that you can tell us about? Tell you what, we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to hear more about this, what kind of fees the morgues are getting, and who's holding people back, and again, what we who are listening can do to help you, to help Linda, help in some way the suffering victims. We'll be right back after this.
How would you like to work less, spend more time with your family, and make more money than you have ever dreamed of? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful children and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about EasyBiz23.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month, and now she earns $16,000 a month. Tori says before she started her own business, she worked 10 hours a day in a high-pressure job. She wore out her car commuting back and forth to work. Now she makes over $100,000 a year in her pajamas. Go online to find out more at EasyBiz23.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's www.EasyBiz23.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to EasyBiz23.com. That's EasyBiz, the number 23.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain this CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There are some that would argue that the real tragedy of Hurricane Katrina has virtually nothing to do with the hurricane itself. The real tragedy is poverty. After all, in our inner cities, poor people have had inadequate health care, bad housing, not enough jobs, not enough justice for many, many decades, long predating Hurricane Katrina. Many would argue that Katrina simply put a spotlight, if you will, on these festering problems. But some are specific to Katrina. My guest, Latasha Brown, has been working to help Katrina victims, and what she was saying before the break is really stunning to me, that there are morgues out there getting fees from FEMA, from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, for holding bodies and not turning them over to families to allow them a decent burial. Latasha, I'm not afraid to call names here. Do you have specific morgues?
Well, what we're getting, it's not about a particular morgue or a particular business. What we're hearing consistent. This is a greater problem where we're hearing consistent stories of family members who are contacting us, and not just saying one morgue or another morgue. We're hearing it across the board where people are having a very, very difficult time to getting the bodies of their loved ones, even when they know they've already identified their loved one is at a particular morgue. You know, we have spoken with families that are saying that the morgues are telling them, particular morgues are telling them that FEMA hasn't given them the okay to release the bodies because of DNA. They need to make DNA matches or samples. However, like we heard from the caller before, we don't have any evidence that FEMA, in fact, has set up the DNA labs. Matter of fact, we're getting messages from the contrary, that DNA labs aren't even set up to this point. So if people, it's across the board, there's a larger systemic problem that is going on in terms of the major agencies that are supposed to take care of FEMA, that are supposed to take care of emergency management, is completely botching up this job, and people are suffering greatly because of that.
Now, Latasha Brown, when Mike Brown, of course, was head of FEMA, the former Arabian horse judge, people generally recognize him to be incompetent, and of course, despite the fact that the president said, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job, he's thankfully gone. But the president was supposed to put in his place competent people. Are you telling me that's not happening?
What I'm saying is I would not feel comfortable saying that people aren't competent. There are some folks, I'm quite sure there are some people that are, you know, doing maybe experts in emergency management. However, what we are seeing across the board, and all we can do is judge on the work that's happening.
Absolutely.
FEMA is not working. So I don't know if that's coming from the top, if it's coming from the bottom. You know, we've talked to agents along the Gulf Coast, and some people have information and sympathize with what we're saying. Some have others. There's a complete communication breakdown. It seems like there is a lot of misinformation, and the structure has completely collapsed so that there's so much misinformation, you don't know who's at fault. We just know that FEMA is not getting the job done.
Well, I'll tell you this. I would think, and I'm sorry to say this, particularly publicly on air, but I would think if the people that were missing, that were harmed, were large contributors to the Bush campaign, I would think the government would be on the ball. That's my comment, Latasha, not yours.
I would certainly think that would be a different approach to it.
I'm afraid so. Let's get, though, to more of the problems, because you mentioned health care is a serious problem. Are there ongoing health issues in New Orleans?
Yes, in New Orleans as well as throughout the Gulf Coast. We're seeing people who are living in some of these areas with respiratory problems, major respiratory problems, and a major area that is not being properly addressed are stress and mental health problems. They're huge and untreated. We've got people and getting phone calls from families of members who are just breaking down. There are shelters who reported where people who were living in the shelters. I know there was a woman who was in Lafayette who actually committed, a 65-year-old grandmother that committed suicide. There was a man and one of the communities we're working with in Gulfport, Mississippi, who had met with a FEMA representative and was so distraught over his meetings that he actually obviously had a breakdown and set himself on fire. There are people who are under a tremendous amount of stress, and their government is not coming to their aid, and they're breaking.
And yet, Latosha Brown, we know, certainly out of Washington, there are literally billions of dollars that are going out all over the country that's supposed to be for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. We have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to know from you, Ms. Brown, where is that money going? Who is getting that money? Where's it going to? I mean, we have a right as taxpayers to know where our money's going, and more importantly, the victims have a right to know where that money's going. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. In a World AIDS Day speech at the White House, President Bush said today the U.S. has committed to a five-year, $15 billion global program to combat the disease. President Bush also signed a measure authorizing a statue of Rosa Parks inside the U.S. Capitol building. A sailor at a naval air station in Fort Worth, Texas, apparently opened fire on co-workers this afternoon. He allegedly shot his chief, the officer in charge, and himself. Wall Street had a good day. The Dow gained 107 points to 10,913. NASDAQ was up 34 points to 2,267, while the S&P 500 climbed 15 at 1,265. President Bush and the First Lady were on hand this evening to turn on the lights in the National Christmas Tree in Washington. It's a 40-foot-tall Colorado blue spruce growing on the north side of the White House. There's more news at usaradio.com.
Do you need to get your credit under control, or do you just need help in rebuilding your credit? Christian Credit Counselors is a free service that will help you consolidate your debts in 20 minutes. The creditors pay us to help you. It doesn't cost you a penny. We can make paying your bills hassle-free while you get out of debt and improve your credit rating. Get your interest rates and payments lowered on your credit cards. Consolidate everything into one affordable, easy payment plan. We'll send you an itemized statement at the end of each month. It will show you where your payment went and how much you have left to pay. It couldn't be easier. Call Christian Credit Counselors toll-free at 877-348-FREE. Isn't it time to have peace of mind? Call us toll-free at 877-348-FREE. Consolidate your debt today with Christian Credit Counselors at 877-348-FREE.
Not available in all states.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Taking testosterone sometimes improves a woman's flagging libido. This led to the hypothesis that women with low sex drive might be lacking in male sex hormones. But a new study from Australia measured these compounds in women who reported little interest in sex and found no reliable correlation between low androgen levels and low libido. Women who reported low sexual desire or responsiveness were very likely to have low levels of dehydroepiandrosterone sulfate, a precursor. But most women with little DHEAS, as it is called, did not report sexual difficulties. The researchers conclude that their results should not prevent doctors from using testosterone to treat low sex drive, but androgen levels cannot be used for diagnosis. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The horror of Hurricane Katrina is not over. And here to talk about it is my guest, Latosha Brown, a founder of the SOS Coalition. Ms. Brown, more than $60 billion has been appropriated by Congress to go out to Hurricane Katrina victims, and you're describing victims who haven't seen a penny of it. I know some went to Halliburton, Carnival Cruise Lines. Where is the money going?
Kellogg, Brown, and Root, you name on and on. It's cronyism. What we're seeing is their money is going to, there were businesses, large businesses, corporations that were, like Kellogg, Brown, and Root, that were on the ground before people, FEMA workers were on the ground to go and contact families and see how they were doing. I mean, it's like a money grab. It's a big money grab. People are down there. We keep hearing about these billions and billions of dollars that are floating around, but even community organizations like ours and others have not received any resources, and we have been on the ground doing the bulk of the work. But it's more importantly, the people on the ground who are in the most need, who this money is supposed to be said to help, have not received any of the resources, nor have they, their needs have been met. So there's billions and billions of dollars that are going, but it seems like it's some political cronyism where that money is going to businesses for political favors and not because of the best interests of the American people.
Well, let's talk about some of them. Vice President Cheney's old company, Halliburton, they got a share, right?
They got a share. The last numbers that I've heard of is that their first, if I'm not mistaken, their first contract was for $40 million. And since that time, they, even when they're talking about these no-bid contracts, that FEMA said, well, we're going to pull back these no-bid contracts. Well, yeah, they're saying that they're going to pull back these contracts in February. So that means from the hurricane up until February, think of the millions and millions and billions of dollars that these major organizations, these major corporations will receive, and when the people are still on the ground and the basic and not getting their basic needs.
And as I recall, the FEMA paid Carnival Cruise Lines to house people, and Carnival charged the government more than the cost even of a cruise.
They did. What I understand, the information we have received, is they paid them $100,000 a day, which was simply a ridiculous move. Who would live on a boat for an extended period of time? And they went into a contractual agreement with them for a extended period of time that whether or not people were on the boat, they would still get they would still get paid for the contract because they had gone into some contractual agreement with them. $100,000 a day for the boat.
And you mentioned, of course, that grassroots organizations like your own are not getting enough funds. I know that this government loves faith-based institutions and tries to put a lot of money in at least the certain churches that support the Bush administration. Tell me about one, Reverend Joseph Lowery. What do you know about him?
Reverend Joseph Lowery is a great civil rights activist down here in Georgia with the People's Agenda. And they've done a Georgia Coalition on the People's Agenda. They've done a tremendous amount of work. And he's a Methodist minister. And what's been disheartening is there was FEMA gave a grant, or recently gave a grant to the United Methodist Church that was to be distributed to community-based for case management. And none of the grassroots organizations, including Dr. Lowery, who's a civil rights icon in our community, were aware of the resources.
So the money went to the church at the top, but didn't get to the people helping
it's
at the bottom.
It's not getting to the people. And if those people who have volunteered, and I want to encourage people to come to the Gulf Coast so they can see for themselves, those that are interested in volunteering, that on the ground there are the small churches, the community-based churches and grassroots groups that are carrying the weight of the cross. They're the ones that are on there day in and day out doing the work. And Red Cross has just been another disaster altogether.
Red Cross, what's the Red Cross done?
Red Cross has just been very non-responsive and unwilling to work with community and grassroots groups around on the ground. There's so many people. We had so many complaints, and we even had a terrible experience with trying to coordinate with Red Cross. It seems like the local organizations don't have they're so bureaucratic in nature that the local organizations don't have any power. They've pulled out in most of these areas, and they showed up late in most of these areas. So the work, although they're getting, they got $1 billion, you know, that still is not getting on the ground with those community and grassroots organizations that are doing the work, and they're not reaching out to partner with those groups to take some of the brunt off them, because many of the groups doing the work, Mark, are groups that they, churches that received 9 feet worth of flooding in their sanctuaries.
Yeah, sure.
And they've been using their outside, their parking lot, to be able to provide resources and support to people, although they themselves have been impacted by the hurricane.
I mean, what the Red Cross, I mean, as you know, has a terrific reputation. Are they just too big and bureaucratic to help out? What's going on here?
I think my personal opinion is that they're too big and bureaucratic, but they've also become a business, I think, instead of looking at this from a humanitarian. A lot of the workers, not to say that they didn't do, some work wasn't good work that was done. I mean,
no, clearly they did some.
What it is to say is that when their community, their unwillingness to work with community groups has been a serious, serious challenge on the Gulf Coast, and then they didn't seem like they were organized. It was absolutely, I'll give you an example. We, early on, there were groups who reached out to the Red Cross, and we had evacuees, 38 evacuees who were stranded on the other side of town that we went to the Red Cross site to get them to provide some support because the vans had ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. They said the best thing that they could do for the evacuees, this is in Gulfport, Mississippi, on day 9, where people were thinking they were going to starve to death, that the best thing they could do was give them some snacks, and they gave us a box of Juicy Juice.
They gave you a box of Juicy Juice?
They gave us a box of Juicy Juice.
I'm speechless, and I'm rarely speechless on this program, Ms. Brown. Let me ask you this. We talked about sort of the kinds of organizations. These large organizations are getting the funds. They're not going to the grassroots who need them. One of the stories I read in the New York Times has to do with the geographic diversity of the funds. It showed how Jackson, Mississippi, which I don't know, folks, if you've looked on a map, Jackson, Mississippi is significantly inland from the Gulf Coast, hundreds of miles from the Gulf. I'm sure that some areas of Jackson were destroyed, but nowhere near the magnitude of New Orleans or Gulfport or any of the towns that are right on the coast. And it showed that Jackson, Mississippi was getting a tremendous amount of funds, far more per person than even New Orleans. Have you been where a city that perhaps has greater support in Congress, a Republican city like Jackson, Mississippi, is doing better than a Democratic city like New Orleans?
The writing is on the wall. Although there were some, there are families that migrated in Jackson, and certainly Jackson should have received some help.
It's fair share, certainly.
The fact of the matter is, it's a political center in the South, and there's no way to justify Jackson receiving a bulk of resources, more resources per person than people along the Gulf Coast who got a direct hit from the hurricane. And Mississippi, particularly along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, was hit probably far worse than any of the other areas in that. So that's absolutely unacceptable. But once again, I think that ties it in to that this money is not tied into humanitarian aid. This money is tied into politics.
Well, I'm afraid that's true. And when we come back, I want to talk about specifically, get away from politics for a little bit, and talk about the victims themselves. I want to talk about health care, housing, jobs, justice. There are so many things that people need right now. I want to focus on what you're doing and what we can do to help the ongoing problems of the evacuees. If you want to call in, folks, toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talkstar Radio listeners, there's a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional, proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the continued problems of the victims of Hurricane Katrina, the evacuees who've been largely deserted, it seems, by their government. Even though taxpayers had given $60 billion to help them out, that money is not trickling down to the people who need it. And the need is great. My guest is Latasha Brown, a founder of the SOS Coalition. Ms. Brown, let's talk about the need. Healthcare, let's start there. Do you have people still living in the fetid waters of Hurricane Katrina?
You have people that are living in damaged facilities where you have toxic mold that's growing in their homes and also growing on their skins. We've been finding folks that the same green toxic mold that's growing on the walls is actually growing on their skin. You have people who are having major respiratory problems. I myself spent some time in one of the disaster areas and was sick after 2 days of exposure to the areas because some of the areas are so contaminated, and there's some environmental problems that have exacerbated the issue. Many of those the poor communities were right next to chemical waste plant and raw sewage plant, so you had a storm surge of 20 foot waves that would bring in 9 to 10 feet of water in their homes that these people are still living among the residue. You've already in an area where you have lack of access to good health care and health insurance. It was a national crisis before Katrina, and Katrina just exacerbated the problem.
Ms. Brown, I can't help but think that here we went to a war in Iraq, hundreds of billions of dollars, far more actually than spent on Hurricane Katrina, 2,100 American lives lost, for the fear that Saddam Hussein might get some biological weapon. And the anthrax attacks that occurred right here in Washington, D.C., as bad as they were, didn't harm more than a couple dozen people. And here you're describing a fantastic health catastrophe, far more than any biological weapon has ever done in America. And we're not doing anything about it. Is the government doing anything to help these health problems?
Very minimum. Many community organizations such as ours, Saving Ourselves and others, set up. It was so bad that we actually had to bring doctors in and organize doctors and health professionals and set up community clinics so people could get access to basic health care needs. There were people who were going days and days without insulin. There were people that could not get their prescriptions or their medicine. There are problems on top of problems, and you've already got an issue of health care in this country.
Sure.
So now you add that into a crisis that the government is slow to respond, if respond at all.
Let me go back to the phones. We have Chris in Selma, Alabama. Chris, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Are you a hurricane evacuee?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm somebody who's worked with some evacuees.
Tell us your experience.
I'm sorry?
Tell us your experience.
Well, the experience has been, it's been a frustrating one, because of all the needs, like y'all have been talking about, and the lack of response, which I know y'all touched on, but, it's just ongoing. It's not even in the past tense. It's a situation where you still got people with unmet housing needs. You still got people getting evicted out of houses in New Orleans. You still got people who are about to have their vouchers or the support that they've been getting to stay in hotels.
Hang on, Chris, because I wanted to talk to Latasha about that. Latasha, tell us about housing. What are the housing needs now?
Oh, there are 15,000 people in Houston right now that are living out of hotel rooms.
How long is that going to last?
Hundreds and hundreds of cases of landlords that are evicting tenants along in New Orleans alone. There are 50,000 people who are in immediate need of housing, and that doesn't take in consideration the numbers that we don't know of people who are actually living in inadequate housing as we speak. And what is not happening there, many people. We hear about these billions of dollars for the trailers, but there are parking lots where you can see trailers stacked on trailers. But here it is, 3 months later, and we're trying to figure out why haven't those trailers been delivered to people who are in desperate need.
Right.
You're seeing,
and I read in the news
where people who are in their homes that have been flooded are not receiving any kind of alternative because there are not any hotels they can go check in. There's not anybody coming to get them. They don't have any resources, so they're forced to stay in one room of their home, which may be contaminated because the whole house has been flooded and toxic mold is growing in the home.
And I read in the news that many of them will be kicked out right after the holidays in January. Chris, do you have another comment or question?
Well, that was really the bulk of it, just that,
okay.
You know, there's still an appreciation of the ongoing need, you
absolutely.
Know, and a lot of people have, including FEMA and the government, have kind of moved on to other issues, but, you know, there's really just not an understanding of how communities are affected by this, and the resources that have been made available to deal with this just simply is not enough.
Honestly, Chris, I just think you have a government that really isn't focusing on the people of Selma, Alabama, or New Orleans, Louisiana, for that matter. I don't know whether it's because black people didn't vote for this president or what, but I certainly have not seen the kind of solicitude to the victims that we've seen, for example, the victims of September 11th, and I don't begrudge them a dime that they received, but I just haven't seen that kind of support to the victims of this hurricane. Thank you, Chris, for your call. I appreciate it very much. Latasha Brown, before we go, there are some other issues you mentioned. One of them is jobs. Apparently, one-third of the hurricane evacuees are still unemployed. Is that right?
They're unemployed and not able to, having a problem finding employment even as they relocate to other areas. Some of them have lost all of their paperwork. They're having problems even getting documents. They're having problems even going to other communities and being able to transfer their skills to another state. There's one particular family that we're working with here in Georgia that the family, there's a mother, father, husband and wife, and three children. The husband has to drive 8 hours to work. He's a longshoreman because that's the area he's been working in for 20 years, and the closest that they could get, the family was so displaced that his family wound up being in Georgia. He came to be with his family, but now he's in a process where he has to drive 8 hours just for employment because that's the only income that they have coming in.
And of course,
and they've lost everything.
Way back in New Orleans, the police are trying to obviously keep everything calm, but one of the things you were telling me about before we went on air was that the police are running sort of a police state down there. Is that fair to say?
Oh, no question. We're getting reports, and we've even seen it. We've witnessed it, where people are getting harassed, even volunteers. There are reports we've gotten from volunteers who in New Orleans have been harassed or even arrested by the police. There's some type of effort to intimidate or slow down the process for people coming back to New Orleans to rebuild New Orleans. There is what we saw on TV with that.
Natasha Brown, sorry, I have to interrupt you just because we're coming up on a hard break here. But I do want to hear when we get back after the break why it is that the police would be trying to keep people out of New Orleans. I don't get it. I want to hear from you right after this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob McConnell. And as the host of the X-Zone Radio Show, I know that miracles really do happen. The IISR is asking for your support to help spinal regeneration get into the clinical trial stages. Spinal regeneration research will not only help those with spinal cord injuries, but will also help those with neurological diseases. Give today and let those know who are suffering that you really do care and that you want to be part of this real medical miracle. Help support doctors, scientists, and researchers who have come so far and are so close to making this miracle happen, and all it needs is your support. Please give generously. To make your online donation or to find out more about spinal regeneration, Regeneration, please visit the International Institute for Spinal Regeneration at www.iisr.net. That's www.iisr.net. Or mail your donation to the IISR, 762 Upper James Street, Suite 266, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L9C3A2. Okay, go ahead.
I have something very important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with their children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help What's the word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dan.
Keep going.
Reading with
you. For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Latasha Brown, a founder of the Save Ourselves Coalition. Ms. Brown, I'm afraid we only have a few minutes left, which is awful because the problems that you're discussing, we really could and should go on for hours. But right before the break, you were explaining that the police are preventing people from coming back into New Orleans. What's going on?
They're preventing people from coming back to certain parts of New Orleans. Particularly, their curfews are very strict. Their people are getting arrested. And what reports we're hearing, if you're caught in a certain area after a certain time, even property owners who have called us and said, I'm just going to try to get in my home, and they're being stopped by the police, and people are being arrested and saying, they're saying that their bond date won't come till 45 days. I mean, even in terms of due process of law. I mean, that we're getting reports of repression. We're getting reports, particularly certain areas, that there's a effort, there's an organized effort to keep communities out so that those particular areas could possibly used by business interest and turned to something entirely different. And that area, they're pushing legislation even right now, looking for finding ways to be able to invoke eminent domain to basically snatch up people's land and possibly use that for development purposes for some business or something. These are hardworking Americans who have worked hard, like your listeners out there, like myself, to buy their property
sure.
in their homes, and they're being denied access to their homes and are even receiving some are reporting being harassed by the local police because they're trying to go back into their homes.
Now, Ms. Brown, I'm sure some can understand how immediately after the hurricane the police had to keep order and restore the levees and such, but what's the excuse for not allowing people to go back now? Is it because there's not enough clean water and electricity? Or I mean, you seem to suggest it's something more than that. It's to allow businesses to actually take over the land.
No, it seems like there's an effort to really displace and discourage people from coming to those areas because there are plans. They're the big money interests who have plans to turn, some people say, turn New Orleans into the Disney World of the Gulf Coast so that it will be a newer New Orleans with a different kind of look and serve, the big business interests in that area. So there's efforts to discourage people, indigenous people, people who are from that community and been there for generations, from returning and residing and being on their property that they've worked hard for.
Ms. Brown, we only have a few minutes left, but when you get a chance after the show, I'd love it if you could email me some of those plans by some of those businesses. I'd love to publicize it right here on the Inside Scoop. In the minute we have remaining, please tell us about your organization and what people listening can do to help yours and other organizations to help the victims of Katrina.
Well, Saving Ourselves is a coalition of grassroots about grassroots organizations, organizers, groups, faith-based groups that came together in the wake of Hurricane Katrina and said that we were going to save ourselves. We were going to put in a framework to be able to provide immediate relief assistance. We've delivered over 300 tons of food and services. We've given out clothes. We've helped families clean their homes up. We've assisted over 200 families. We've set up temporary shelters, permanent shelters. We've set up health community health clinics to do triage in, and we are still in the neck of doing a lot of work. We've coordinated over 500 volunteers. There's so much work we've been able to do, but there's so much more work we need to do. If people are interested in finding out more about our organization or volunteering or donating, they can visit our website, which is www.SOS after Katrina.org. That's SOS after Katrina.org. Or they can call us. We have a 1-800 number where they can call us, which is 1-877-371.